We read the word of God this morning from Psalm 61. Psalm that was read several times to the young couple when they were in the hospital with their infant daughter. Psalm 61. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows. Our text is the last half of verse 5. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching of his word. Beloved in our Lord, this psalm has been called a little pearl. Little but very precious. To God's people. When they find themselves in trouble or affliction, they, like David, cry out to the Lord, and the Lord hears their cries and answers. The psalm was written when David was in exile, forced exile by his son Absalom. In Mahanaim, on the other side of the Jordan, which wasn't considered really the land of Israel. The Lord had heard his cry and had defeated Absalom, and now David would again be able to return to his land and return to the throne. So the psalm has been entitled, Prayer and Thanksgiving of an Expelled King on the Way Back to His Throne. And in our text, David is celebrating the goodly heritage that the Lord has given to him. The words of our text, Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. And may you and I go out of this house of worship this morning singing those same words, celebrating God's covenant love. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. A goodly heritage. Notice what that heritage is. Second of all, those that fear God's name. And then thirdly, and most importantly, the one who bestows this heritage. Thou hast given me the heritage. It's singular. The word heritage comes from the verb to give. In other words, a heritage is a possession that we have. It is an inheritance that we receive. It is property. It is one's portion or one's share. In Psalm 11, verse 6, we read there of the portion of the wicked. Upon the wicked he shall rain snares and fire and brimstone and a horrible tempest. This shall be the portion. This will be the heritage of their cup. And in contrast to that portion or that heritage that is given to the wicked, we have a portion, we have a heritage, we have an inheritance that is given to God's people. In the Old Testament, of course, that inheritance that Israel received was the land of Canaan. That land of Canaan was taken away from the wicked Canaanites. They were destroyed, and it was given to God's peculiar people. And that's why the psalmist in different places is able to celebrate that great gift. I think of Psalm 36, where the psalmist is extolling the Lord's mercy. And what does he say in Psalm 36? He says in verses 21 and 20, in verses 21 and verse 22, verses 11 and 12, "Let not the foot of pride come against me, let not the hand of the wicked remove me. They are fallen, but we are kept by the Lord." Psalm 136, we read verses 21 and 22. "And the Lord gave their land," that was the land of Sihon, king of Bashan, and it was an Og, king of Bashan. "And he gave their land for a heritage, even an heritage unto Israel his servant." And why did the Lord give that inheritance now to Israel? And the psalmist is celebrating in Psalm 136 the Lord's mercy. Mercies that endure forever. And why does the Lord give this inheritance to his people? And the answer is because his people are the favored people. That is, they are God's people. God gave to them the land of Canaan, which is a type, a picture of heaven, and one's place in that kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. And now David, while he's in exile, while he's living outside of that land proper, chased away from that land, an exile, he celebrates because the Lord gave him deliverance and he's able to return to that land. The land promised to Israel. And David says that not only is that his inheritance, but of course to David personally was the throne. David was made a throne of God, was made a king of God's people. What would happen to that line of David? What would happen to the Christ who is to come? David speaks here in our psalm as a type of Christ. For Christ also was expelled. He was cast out, wasn't he? But no, the Lord gave him deliverance. On the third day, the Lord raised him from the dead. And yes, he has a throne forever and ever. No one is able to take away that throne. So what is this heritage? In the Old Testament, in type, it was that they were chosen to be God's peculiar people, and they were placed in a beautiful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Their enemies subdued, peace and prosperity. And now let's translate that for what that means to us. The New Testament speaks often about the inheritance of the saints, doesn't it? Our inheritance is heaven. And our inheritance is there that we will be with God forever, that we will enjoy friendship and fellowship with God now in principle, but one day without sin. It will be our possession forever. No one can take it away. But not only is it that we're going to have heaven, that we're going to be with Christ Jesus, but it is that we are that people chosen for that inheritance. We are the Lord's inheritance. That's what we read there from Psalm 33 and 34. We are the Lord's inheritance. That is far better than the material inheritance in the Old Testament, which was just a picture, a type of the spiritual inheritance that is ours. The people of God, namely those who fear the Lord's name. And with that possession being God's people, communion with God and heaven itself. Beloved, that is a priceless heritage. It is an inheritance. That means it can't be bought with money. It is not earned by our works. It is not because we're better than all the rest. Israel was not better than the other peoples of the world. God took Abraham out of the land of his fathers where they worshipped idols. No one lives, not then, not today, no one lives in such a way to render themselves worthy of Christ's kingdom, worthy of heaven, worthy of being called God's people. No, it is all of grace, isn't it? And that's why we sing. We sing praises to God who has bestowed upon us the heritage of those that fear his name. It's a priceless heritage. It is a heritage to be cherished by us. It's our prized possession. Our prized possession is not our houses, which we have for a little while. Our prized possession are not our nice cars. Our prized possession is not even our wife or our husband or our children. But the prized possession to be cherished is that we are people of God. Cherish it. Identify with it. Be happy to give a testimony of your heritage. I'm a child of God. By God's grace, separated out from the world and made his peculiar child, son or daughter, his peculiar people. You'll notice there that it is in the plural. We'll get to that later on. That heritage is entrusted to us. Think highly of it. Prize it. Boys and girls, you remember a figure in the Old Testament. Esau was the firstborn. And Esau then had the right to the birthright. But did Esau prize that birthright? Did he consider it more valuable than anything else? And the answer is no. No, he was hungry. He was very hungry. And his belly was more important to him than the birthright. He did not cherish that birthright. Oh, what an inheritance what a heritage to be among those who fear the Lord's name. To be loved by the Lord. To be known and to be owned by Him as their God. And then to be kept. To be kept very close to oneself. Who do you identify with? What is your identity? I know those who have been very healthy and then have become very, very sick. And they enter into a great depression because they're not what they once used to be. They're not able to do the same things that they used to be able to do. And those people need to be reminded, that's not our real identity. What we're able to do, what we know. Our identity is that we are children of God, chosen by His grace. And no one is able to take that away from us. Not all the temptations of Satan. Not the afflictions or the troubles that we go through in this life. I'm a child of the King. I'm a son or a daughter of God. He's my Father. God's people, do you know that as your identity, as your great inheritance? He has given me to be the heritage of those that fear His name. The New Testament speaks of that inheritance, doesn't it? In Ephesians 1 verse 14, we read that the Spirit is called the earnest of our inheritance. The Spirit indwelling us enables us to say, Abba, Father. We have a close relationship with our God through the Holy Spirit. It's an earnest of what we're going to have when there's no more sin, when body and soul were in heaven. In Colossians 1 verse 12, the apostle exhorts the believers in Colossae to give thanks unto the Father who hath made them meet. That means who has made them fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. He has made us, and now He prepares us, He fits us for our inheritance when we will be with Him forever in heaven. And if we look closely at Psalm 61 verse 5, we're going to notice there that the word me is in italics, isn't it? That means it's supplied by the translator. It's not there in the original. And yet the translators had every right to put that word me there. David makes this very personal. David is the one who was cast out of the land. But the Lord shows deliverance. The Lord hears his cries. And the Lord, he celebrates, has given me, David, the heritage of those that fear thy name. Because he fears the Lord, he calls on the Lord. He cries on him, verse 1, over and over, and verse 2, that word is used. He cries to him. He depends upon the Lord. He trusts in the Lord. Thou hast given me the heritage of those who fear thy name. And this morning when we hear that, may each one of us keep that word me in there. May you say with joy, the Lord has given me the heritage of those that fear His name. I'm a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. I'm a covenant member. Tyler and Laura, may that be the identity that you give your daughter. Who is she? You treat her as a child of God. You teach her to be able to say, my Father which is in heaven. What a rich heritage. You and I, who were aliens and strangers to God by sin, brought near into his house, made a part of that company, that group, that are called God's people, who live for him and have heaven waiting for us, of which Canaan was just a type. But let's look a moment a little bit closer at that heritage. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. That's the heritage which is given to us. We're numbered with God's people. Those that fear his name. We're not standing out as individuals here or there. But the Lord saves in his church, doesn't he? He saves a church. Not individuals here or there. But he saves his church. And what is that heritage? It is first of all this, that we know his name. We know God by name. Why do we know God by name? Because he has revealed that name to us. Oh, he has revealed himself to all people through creation, hasn't he? All creatures know that there is a God, that he is powerful, even though they deny him. Although they reject that truth, they hide that truth. Well, God has given us that revelation also in creation, but then also in the scriptures. We know the name of our God, the various names that are given to him, the covenant name, Jehovah, the name that is used here in our passage, Elohim, that is the plural, the majesty of that God. Other places, the God of hosts. God Almighty, the sovereign God. And what do we know about that name? We know by that name his person, that he is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We know who he is. We know his mighty works on our behalf, and we know his relationship unto us. We know the work of creation. We know the work of preservation or providence. He is the one who is upholding the world. He's the one who is changing the seasons. He is the one who gives sunshine and he gives rain. He is the one who gives family and friends and work to do and health to enjoy it. And more important, we know him in his work of redemption. Taking us, as God took Israel out of the bondage of Egypt and translating them into the land of Canaan, so the Lord takes us out of the slavery to our sins, out of our sinful condition, and he makes us new creatures fit and being made fit to live with him eternally in heaven. We know his person, we know him in his works, and we know him in his relationship to us. Is there anything more beautiful than a father and a mother who love their little child that God's given to them? And isn't it wonderful when boys and girls love their parents, father and mother, and when they love their grandparents, they identify with them. And now on the spiritual level, God, his name is revealed to him so that we know him as our God. We know Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord. We know the Spirit as the Spirit that dwelleth within us. Yes, the heritage that is given to us, that we are part of those that fear his name. What does it mean to fear his name? Boys and girls, when we read that, it does not mean that you're afraid of God. Let the wicked be afraid of God, for he is a consuming fire. Let the wicked be afraid of God, for he will send his thunderbolts of wrath against them in time and in eternity. But let the children of God, those whom he loves, never be afraid of God and never be afraid of that great judgment day that's coming. Because all those judgments have been taken away. All our sins and our guilt are taken away. No, when we read that we are part of those that fear his name, it means we are those that stand in awe and reverence and respect to him. He's not like one of us with our frailties, with our weaknesses and our sins. No, he is the great one that is enthroned in the heavens. He is the one who has shown his love and his mercy and his grace by great deeds for us, and we stand in awe and respect and reverence. And all we can ever say of all of our life is we are but unprofitable servants. When we read that we are part of those that fear his name, it means that there is this covenant relationship. That's what is breathed in this prayer of David. Cast out by his people, an exile, God brings deliverance and he rejoices. I'm part of those whom God knows in love, who has made his people, and it cannot be taken away. Because God is faithful to his covenant. As God said to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, I will be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee in their generations for an everlasting covenant. A covenant that cannot be broken. Oh, we violate the covenant, don't we? Day after day. But it can't be broken because God has established it, God maintains it, and God perfects that relationship. Our God, we are his people, his children. Our God. As the psalmist says, we are the people of his pasture, the sheep of his hand. What does it mean to fear God? Yes, awe, respect, reverence, love. We love him. And I want you to notice it is then also an antithetical position, isn't it? Those that fear the Lord. Not those who love wickedness, but those who fear the Lord. Job, when he is making a statement, says in Job 28, verse 28, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. You say, what does that have to do with this? Job here is, there's parallelism in this verse. He's saying the one means the other. The fear of the Lord, that's wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. They're one and the same thing. They're two sides of the coin. We trust, we love the Lord means also on the flip side that we hate evil. And boys and girls, that is what the antithesis is, isn't it? If we are of the Lord, we are not of the world. If we say yes to God and his commandments, it means we say no to sin. We say no to ourselves, our sinful self, and we say no to Satan. And oh, what blessings flow from that relationship. Because we fear the Lord, because we love the Lord, he gives us grace to fight our sinful flesh and to say no to sin. Yes, it is an antithetical position. Who is Joseph down there in Egypt? He's a young man ripped away from his home, expelled really by his brothers, sold into a land of heathenism. And the temptations that come to him, namely in Potiphar's wife, encouraging him to have wrong relationships with her. And what does he say? God forbid that I should do such a great sin against God. He says, I can't do it. To fear the Lord is to hate sin, to flee from it. Oh, how Joseph fled, didn't he? He fled, leaving his cloak behind him. Couldn't stand there a long moment longer. Or we think of Daniel and his three friends there in Babylon. Expelled from their land, cast out of their land in a native land, but rather than succumbing to it, they identified with the God of Israel. And no, they would not eat food then that is served to idols. And no, they wouldn't even obey the king's command not to pray. To fear God means to flee sin and to be obedient. Oh, to say that we love God is easy, isn't it? Just like it is easy to say we love someone that's next to us. Or as we heard Friday, love in a marriage. It's one thing to say, I love you. But when that person gets on our nerves, when that person sins against us, when that person does something that's wrong, love is demonstrated, isn't it? It's a work. It's an obligation. Those that fear the Lord means that they obey Him, that they walk in His commandments. And David was exiled by his enemies, those that rebelled against him. But he lived in the midst of that people. He comes back again as their king, and he rules over all of them. What a type of our Lord Jesus, the obedient servant, exiled by his own. And yet, what does he say on the cross? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Or as Peter testifies in his sermons, they did it in ignorance. Jesus, the obedient servant of God, our heritage is that we are of those that fear God's name, that obey Him. Believers in grace hear the commandments and they pray, Lord, help me to walk in them. So that is the heritage. The heritage of belonging to that people of God, the people of God that He has separated out of the world and given to Jesus Christ. That's what baptism is a picture of. We are that people with the blessedness of knowing God, loving God, serving God, having fellowship with God now by faith and one day body and soul in heaven. But now we want to center in the rest of the sermon on the one who bestows that great heritage. Listen to David. For thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. David doesn't say, I chose this. This was my decision to make. He celebrates because this is something that is given to him. That's the idea of an inheritance, isn't it? As we get older, as our parents or our grandparents get older, they might leave you something. They might leave you something in their inheritance, in their will. You're not entitled to it, even though sometimes children, people think and act like they're entitled to what their parents might have had. They're not entitled. But it is freely given. And that is the idea here. David celebrates and he says, O God, verse 5, Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. It is undeservedly given to David. And it is undeservedly given to you and me and to our children. God says, I will raise up a people. I will form a people out of the nations. Abram was not better than the rest of the folks in that day. David was not better. All the sins of even the saints, that saint, are laid out in the scriptures. Grievous sins. You and I, undeservedly, are made the people of God. Teach your children that. Teach your children that it's all of grace, that we are sons and daughters of God. How is that heritage given to us? And I want you to notice in our text that it is in the past tense. David says, Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear Thy name. God has given to that heritage to us by divine election. In eternity, having chosen Christ, He chooses us and gives us to Christ Jesus. That's how it's bestowed upon us, by sovereign election. No conditions that we meet, but simply His good pleasure, His will, His decree. And He has given us that through the blood of our Lord Jesus. That's the only way that you and I could be made sons and daughters of God, isn't it? Through His only begotten Son, the only begotten Son who took our sin and our guilt upon Himself on the cross, so that we could be washed from all of our sins, made spotless, blameless sons and daughters of God. A heritage that is ours through the blood of Jesus Christ. What baptism points to. And this heritage is worked in us and is experienced by us through the work of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? It's the Holy Spirit that enables us, even while our consciences are accusing us, you are sons and daughters of God, crying, Abba, Father. And this triune God gives us this heritage so that we experience it in our generations. From fathers to sons and daughters, and from sons and daughters to their children, to a thousand generations. And we enjoy, we experience that relationship with our God, that we are those who fear His name, through the preaching of the Word from week to week. That's why the Bible's called the Good News, isn't it? It tells us not only about the triune God, it tells us not only about His work, it tells us not only about our terrible sins and depravity, but it tells us about how we've been redeemed and delivered and were claimed by our God. My people. My people. Oh, the personal nature of that heritage. Read it, beloved, in your text, that word supplied. David is able to say it, and he knows it for himself. And may we know it this morning. And may little Hayden know it in her life. Thou hast given to me the heritage of those that fear thy name. David knew it. Christ knew it. He knew himself as the head of the covenant. He knows all those whom be given to him by name. May we know it. The heritage of those that fear thy name, all by grace, through faith. And it's because of that deliverance. It's because of what God is to us and what he has done for us, that David says in Psalm 61, "For thou, O God, hast heard my vows." We make vows, don't we? As children of God, we vow that we're going to live and we're going to serve him. Israel did that at Mount Sinai, and they did it when they entered into the land of Canaan. They will serve the Lord only. The Lord hears those vows. His ears are open unto it. And now those vows that we speak, we keep. The very end of Psalm 61. "So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Vows are easily spoken, aren't they? May we take thought of them. And how many Christians, or those who call themselves Christians, make vows and then easily break those vows? That they will serve the Lord. That they will stand underneath the admonition of the elders and listen to church discipline. Vows of marriage spoken, but when things don't go well, broken. Vows that you would bring up little Hayden in the instruction of God's word. Daily performed. Why? Because he's our God. He has made us his people. He gives us the grace to live as his people. In the preaching, we hear that, don't we? Psalm 34, verse 11, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord." That's our vows. We who know this relationship to the God, we're going to teach these things to our children so that there's not a generation that grows up that doesn't know the Lord and what he's done, but we teach our children so that they too will know this wonderful heritage. God's people. God's people who are people of the book, the scriptures. A people who have the rich confessions that are written out. A people who have been given the rich reformed heritage of ours. Some of you boys and girls, you go to the school called Heritage Christian School, don't you? It's a precious name. Those who belong to the Lord, those who know the Lord, those who love the Lord, those who trust the Lord, those who walk in obedience to the Lord. Because of our relationship, we are those that fear the Lord. We keep those vows. The Lord helping us. Amen. Oh, Father, we'll sing with a psalmist, "A goodly heritage is mine, marked out by grace." We thank thee, Father, for claiming us, for making us thy people, bestowing that heritage upon us who are so undeserving. Help us then, Lord, to live out that heritage, to live as children of God, to live as children of the light, bringing praise to thee, glory in our lives. Amen. We sing of that heritage in number 27. Take it from Psalm 16. The lines have fallen unto me in places large and fair. A goodly heritage is mine, marked out with gracious care. Let's sing stanzas 1, 2, 4, and 5. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be yours. Amen.